Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text for this morning's meditation is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was a husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. Thus far the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jeremiah is always getting a bum rap. From the day when he first delivered God's warnings of the coming exile down to today, he is described as a complainer, all doom and gloom. Even the dictionary gets into the act, describing a sermon that endlessly condemns evil in society as a Jeremiad. Yet there is a lot of gospel to be preached in this prophet. The precious passage before us this morning is one of the sweetest of all the gospel proclaimed in the Old Testament. It is a sign for that reason as the very first lesson for Reformation Tide, which we hear every year, and rightly so. Even the New Testament esteems this passage greatly. It is the only one quoted from the Old Testament in its entirety in the New Testament. And for all of you people who are masters of trivia, that's in Hebrews. Okay. So what do we make of this message, this gospel, which is before us? The first thing is to consider the old covenant itself. Why do we need a new covenant anyway? Wasn't the old covenant good enough? Why should we have to set it aside for another? The old covenant itself is great, very great indeed. It is established by an act of God's own grace. When he reveals this covenant, he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. It begins with the fact that God himself has blessed his people by redeeming them and rescuing them from slavery. It is a blessing, for it reveals what people only kind of suspected before, and that is what the mind and heart of God is all about. Without the old covenant and without God's law, we would not know what God wanted us to do, or that he truly was a loving and caring God who really wanted to have us as his people. All we would see is what the people of Israel saw that day, all the technicolor of a mountain blowing up in their face with all kinds of thunder and lightning and earthquakes. You might suspect that God was out to get us if we didn't watch out. The old covenant brings forth also the law to us, which is good, lest we forget. This law helps our society's kingdom of the left to maintain order so that there is less chaos and the gospel might be preached to the ends of the earth, and so that we at least have a reasonable chance of living life in a comfortable and quiet manner so that God's grace can go forth in our midst. God's law reveals to us our big problem, that we are sinners and in need of a Savior, and that no matter how hard we try, we can't measure up to what God has asked us to do or to be. And for those of us who have clinged in faith to God's mercy, the law gives to us an idea of how God would like us to live our lives in this world, to honor him and to preach his gospel to the ends of the earth. And so, why do we need a new covenant? Isn't the old one good enough? Well, there is one problem with the old covenant, and that is we break it. And we break it daily. And even though we know the old covenant, and we know God's law, and we live in the new covenant, still we break his law. Because we are still, as Luther reminded us, saints and sinners at the same time. And while we know what the law is asked of us, and we know that that is good, and we really do want to live differently, still we sin. With St. Paul, we can sometimes throw our hands up in the air and say, who is going to save us from this wretched body of death? How can we escape? Because we have broken God's holy covenant. We have turned our back on him, though he was faithful to us and guided us and protected us and saved us by his grace, still we have turned our backs on him. So who is going to save us? This is why we need a new covenant, and why the Lord picked the great complainer, Jeremiah, to be the one through whom he would announce the new covenant. The new covenant is not to take the place of the old covenant in so many words. The new covenant is there to fulfill the old one, to make it complete, to achieve its goal, which is to bring us into God's presence forever. The new covenant, like the old, begins with grace. It is the grace of the last will and testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus himself living a perfect life of obedience under the covenant and not breaking it, walked the way to the cross and gave his own life. In the sacrament of Holy Communion, he ties us to this new covenant in Jeremiah with his own body and with his own blood. He delivers his last will, his last testament, that by his death our sins might be forgiven, that we might be given the gift of faith, that we might be a part of his kingdom. And every time we come to that sacrament of his body and blood, he seals that testament for us and says, you are my heir. To you belongs the gift of the new covenant. Because he has done this, dying and rising again from the dead, he brings to us the new covenant of God's grace. And in that, God doesn't waste time telling us, go off and do what I ask you to do. Instead, he writes it in our hearts and in our lives, the very place where God wants his law to be in the first place. For he told us, under the old covenant, that he wanted us to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds and all our strengths. And he asked us to be perfect as he was. In the new covenant, he achieves that for us because we are in ourselves sinners and unable to do it for ourselves. Because he writes this law in our hearts, now we are free. Free to live our lives according to the new covenant, by his grace to walk the ways that he asks us to walk and to do the things he asks us to do. And when we slip and when we fail and we come again back to the covenant, he forgives our sins and takes them away forever so that we might live with him forever. It was this freedom that our dear Dr. Luther discovered when he rediscovered the gospel in the words of St. Paul. And it is this freedom that, again, we can reconsider and cherish even in our day as we once again turn to the very sacrament that God has given us in his body and blood. And so, do we really need that old covenant? Well, probably yes. No one has said that it has gone away. But but it can be fulfilled, not in its own terms, but on the terms of the new covenant, when God puts it in our hearts and our lives so that we all know him from the least of us to the greatest. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.